We'll read today's Bible passage. New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be able to worship you and sing songs of praise to you. We thank you that this church is greatly blessed and there are many people who are able to attend. We also pray that this church will be a great blessing to this area that we are in. In this past week, Lord, we know that you have provided guidance and blessings for us. And you've given us the opportunity to share the gospel and be witnesses to many people as well. We ask, Lord, that we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we know that you have selected us and chosen us from long ago and have provided the way for our salvation to us. As a source of this blessing, allow us, Lord, to be able to sing back praises to you and to be able to guide others toward you. In our daily lives, there's things that we see and we hear, and some of them aren't always the best. There's many different conflicts and destruction and natural disasters as well, and many people are unfortunately faced with these things. There's people who are also facing illness as well. We know that this can weigh heavily on people's hearts. We ask, Lord, that you provide encouragement to them and that by singing out to you, Lord, they can feel relief. Please watch over Pastor Joey Anjiki as he speaks today. We ask that through today's message that many people can be encouraged and be sources of blessings to others in the coming week. Please, Lord, allow us to be used. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to be looking again at a passage from the book of Matthew. Kids are really interested about how they were born or how they came into being. And it's possible that when you were young as well, you possibly asked your parents, "Oh, where did I come from?" There was one family when the following situation occurred. There was a young first grade boy who went to his grandmother's house. And when he asked her, when he got there, he said, "Hey, Grandma, how were you born?" And she was like, "Well, I probably shouldn't tell him the exact details." So she thought and said, "Well, I was born from a cabbage field." And he's like, "Oh, okay." So he's like, "Well, how about my mom? How was she born?" And she's like, "Well, she was kind of like born out of this bamboo shoot." And so he's like, oh, well, where am I from? And he, and she was like, oh, well, a stork brought you. And he's like, oh, okay. And so he went home and wrote in his journal, in my family, there's been 3 generations of unrealistic births, unscientific births. So, and he apparently already knew how children came into being. But if you think about unnatural births, you can refer to today's passage about the birth of Jesus, the Savior. How was Jesus born? Well, that's what's mentioned in today's passage, how he was born of the Virgin Mary through the Holy Spirit. And this is actually a passage that's really difficult for a lot of people to accept. They're like, how could that have possibly happened? Around the world, there's all kinds of different religions. And a lot of these religions come up with some really interesting, mysterious stories about how their religion was founded. And so is it possible that they could have just made something up in the Bible about how Jesus was mysteriously born? That's not true. Because it wasn't just that Jesus needed a special way to come into the world, but rather in the Old Testament, it has been prophesied for a long time that there would be a definite need for a way of salvation. And when we think about this, we have to figure out and accept that the virgin birth is something we truly do. We need to accept. Today's title is The Virgin Birth, The Faith of Mary and Joseph Who Expected It, with 3 main points. The first main point today is the meaning of the virgin birth. Let me read a little bit of today's passage, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. So Mary and Joseph were engaged. In those days, prior to becoming married, it was the common thing to not have sexual relations prior to marriage. However, Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant. And if that was such a situation in those days, you know, he would have obviously thought, oh, she must have had an affair. And in those days, adultery was considered a very serious offense. And there was 2 different options that Mary would have had. She would have had to have been either stoned to death, or Joseph would have had to have written a letter of divorce and sent her away. And so those are the 2 choices Joseph had. And he chose to make the decision to quietly divorce her and send her away. However, there was an angel that came to him in a dream at this time. Verse 20, but after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because she's conceived. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So the angel told him that she was actually pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Matthew, the writer of this book, explained that actually this had been prophesied in Isaiah, and this was actually a fulfillment of that prophecy. Isaiah was living around 700 years prior, and he prophesied about the Savior that was to come, the Messiah, saying in verse 23 from today's passage, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Matthew was referring to what Isaiah had prophesied 700 years ago and how this was actually coming to pass. If you think about it, under normal circumstances, this would have been something completely inconceivable. However, from a biblical perspective, you can see just how important it was, and how Matthew was very clear about how this, and Matthew even mentions in a couple other places that they had not had sexual relations. In verse 23 and 18 and 25, it also refers to how they had no union and so on. So he made it very clear that this was the case and why it wasn't necessary that this happened. Well, in the Old Testament, there was a long explanation and outline of how a way of salvation would be necessary. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were necessary to address sin. They would take animals, pass the sin on to the animals, and sacrifice them to God to deal with the sin. These animals had specific conditions, and which were mentioned in the Old Testament. They had to be animals without defects or blemishes. In other words, they had to be pure, clean animals. And those are the only animals that could take sin upon them. A sinless animal, in a sense, was the only one that could bear the sin and have it resolved. However, this way was incomplete because people just kept sinning and they would just have to keep sacrificing animals. For this reason, God decided to come up with a plan that would provide a complete way for our salvation. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior. Jesus Christ was born from the Virgin Mary through the Holy Spirit. And it was necessary that this came to be because he would be sinless. If Jesus had been born through a normal means, then he would have carried on the sin characteristic just as we have. However, Jesus Christ, in order to be a pure sacrifice, had to be something that had no defects or blemishes, and in this way he was, so that he could take upon all the sin of humanity. And this is the reason why this type of birth was necessary for him. And the angel said in verse 21, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus Christ would be born sinless, and at the end of his life, he would give his life on the cross to take all of the sin of people upon him, die. On the third day, he would be resurrected to complete the means for salvation. And this is how Jesus Christ was born through the Holy Spirit of Virgin Mary. In the Old Testament, we are able to refer to how this happened and understand this whole outline of God's plan to see how it actually did come to pass as prophesied. Let's look at the second and third points now. The second point is the faith of Mary who accepted the virgin birth. We can be encouraged by this. So Mary at this time, it was believed to be around basically 13 to 15 years old because women were buried earlier in those days in the Jewish times. So about 13 to 15 years old. That's how at least things were in the Jewish realm at that time. And there was a time when then an angel spoke to Mary as well. Let me read that. It's Luke chapter 1, verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And please name him Jesus. This would have been a very surprising event for her. And in verse 34, she replied by saying, How can I this come to be since I am a virgin?" So how could something that couldn't happen, as she was wondering about. And for Mary, do you think this was good news to her? Probably not 100%. Because this probably would have just kind of shattered, or at least shadowed, her plans for marriage and her future. She probably had her own dreams for what her married life would be like. And she was probably now worried whether Joseph would accept her or if she would be sent away, and or even if she would be killed by stoning according to the law. However, Mary believed what God was telling her and accepted this very surprising news. Verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So for Mary, she was able to speak with back and forth with an angel, and you can see how she truly was a woman of faith, that she knew what the Bible was teaching. She wanted to follow God and had that desire. However, what God was telling to her to do was likely something quite different than what she had imagined. However, even if it was different than what she had intended, she made the choice to accept what God had told her to do. As a result, Mary did have the opportunity to give birth to Jesus, the Savior of the world, and raise him. And he is, in this way, was able to become truly the Savior of all people. I'd like to think about this just a moment. In our lives, there are times when things happen that are a little different than what we would have intended or desired. However, at such times, we can always look up to God and follow him. And if we make that choice, then God will use it to benefit us. And when we look back in our lives, we can see how God used even such interesting opportunities and obstacles for good. I'd like to share the testimony of one specific person now. A person by the name of Dr. Paul Brandt. He actually worked as a missionary for a long time in India. In his teens, he decided that he wanted to be a missionary in India. His parents had been missionaries as well, and he really respected them. He started to prepare to go onto the mission field and decided to go to an architectural school for 4 years to be able to learn those skills, to be able to build hospitals and other types of buildings so that he could reach people the gospel through doing that work. In 4 years, he was able to receive architecture qualifications, and he spoke to a missionary organization and said to them, "Please allow me to go into the mission field and do this." However, the missionary organization said no to him. They said, "No, you're too young. You need to prepare some more before you go onto the field." And he was shocked by this. He knew that he was supposed to go to India and that that was God's desire for him. So he's like, "Why are they refusing his desire?" However, God had a plan for this. And God had allowed him to take more time to prepare to go on the mission field. When he was learning about medical information, he became interested in that and spent a number of years to become qualified as a doctor. He graduated with both qualifications as an architect and a doctor, and told the missionary organization, "I am ready to go. Please send me to India." However, the missionary organization told him no again. And actually, at that time, the Second World War had begun, and it was difficult for the missionary organization to actually send missionaries abroad. They asked him, instead of going to the mission field, to use his skills in first aid to be able to provide relief for bombing victims in the UK instead. So he spent several years in London dealing with people who needed relief from bombing as an orthopedic surgeon. And after several more years, still he was not a missionary in India. However, a friend of his who was not a missionary provided him with an opportunity to go to India. And there was one thing that happened that totally changed his life. His medical friend, who was in charge of a leprosy clinic, invited him to come. And he was able to meet such people and see these people who were missing their various limbs, and really felt a strong calling from God that he was supposed to serve these people. He said that your mission is where your heartfelt joy meets the deep hunger and thirst in the world. And he really felt called at that time. Therefore, over tens of 20 years or so on, he spent in India actually serving people there in India. When looking back over his life in his latter years, he thought to himself that when he was young, he thought he was just being sent here and there, and was very upset at the time about not being able to achieve his goal. However, after everything, he realized that he had been given the opportunity to learn skills that he would need later in his life to be able to effectively do both architectural and medical work in India. And by being sent to the UK and in London, he was also able to serve people there and learn skills as a doctor that helped him to be able to effectively serve people in India. He was able to carefully re-image the people who had severe scars and damage to their bodies. And if he had just gone to India just as a youngster, he would have not been able to do things so efficiently. So even with things that seemed to be a long shot in his life and distraction, he was able to gain a lot from them. All of the different points in his life that he felt were way offline all added up and aligned him to be able to accomplish wonderful things. In our lives, too, there may be things that happen that seem quite different from what we are intending to do, but we can be certain that God will change all of the things together to work for good in our lives. And we can learn this from what Mary experienced as well. Let's look at the final point today. The faith of Joseph, who accepted the virgin birth. At this time, Joseph would have also probably been around the age of Mary. Joseph, when he heard about Mary's pregnancy, he too was actually spoken to by an angel and heard that her pregnancy was due to the Holy Spirit. He decided then to accept Mary as his wife and name the child Jesus. The Bible actually doesn't mention much about Joseph other than this. And Jesus was effective in his ministry. He started his ministry about 30 years into his life. But at that time, there's no mention of his father, Joseph, so it's possible that Joseph died early on in Jesus' life. Today's passage does mention something special about him, though. In verse 19, it says Joseph was a righteous man who did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. So this means that he was one who obeyed the law and followed God. And when he heard about Mary's pregnancy, he decided not to have her stoned, even though that was what was required of the law. You can see just how much he would have had to have loved her to have made such a decision. If you look at history and how Christianity spread through the Mediterranean Sea and into Europe as well, you can notice that the main characters of the Bible actually took their time to be able to spread the gospel. As for Joseph, there were various different images or stories that were told about who he was. One of the things that went around or was rumored at that time was that he was a very foolish person because he wasn't keeping track of his to-be-married wife, and then decided to raise a child that wasn't even his. According to this rumor, he was just like a foolish man who was used by this woman. At the same time, though, a different rumor also went around Europe in that area. And that was the rumor about Joseph, that likely he was the true one, and that he was actually a person who was very loving and protected young children and people who didn't have anyone else to protect them. He was able to show his love to Mary, who no one else would have appreciated at that time, and also Jesus as well. So he was able to show how he could truly love the unloved. Through this father image of Joseph, we can see how that also expresses God's heart and also expresses Jesus' work as well. In those days, Jesus truly did reach out to people who were hurting and people who were set apart from others. Jesus does the same thing today in our lives. Our lives all have different difficulties and painful experiences and challenges. And our friends and families do support us at such times, and that is very encouraging. However, there are always times where human support is lacking. And even though we can do our best to, you know, reach out to others, we can never make a 100% perfect effort. When our children, for example, if our child is ill, we would want to take their illness upon ourselves, but we can't do such a thing. And so when I, too, am in pain, I also would hope that somebody else could understand such a pain, but that isn't always the case. However, in the Bible, it says that our pain and our difficulties are 100% understood, completely understood, by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth and he lived here as a human. In the day he was born, he lived, he was able to understand the difficulties that humanity faced at that time, which are the same as what we face today. He was able to be aligned with human weakness to the fullest extent, and that was expressed on the cross. On the cross, he took all of humanity's sin upon himself. And because of that, he was able to completely understand our souls and the pain that we feel as humans. It can be said that there is nothing that Jesus cannot understand about us. He experienced such pain and discomfort that he can relate to anything we feel. There was a husband and wife who had a son, their only son, who unfortunately died in a traffic accident. They were very distraught over this, and they were trying to just get through this and went on a trip in Europe in light of this. There was different sightseeing places, and different churches were amongst them. They went into one of the churches there, and they saw a picture of Jesus Christ dying on the cross there. And it really hit them as they saw the picture. And finally, the wife said, "Hey, do you think that if the Jesus experienced such pain that he could possibly understand the pain we're feeling with the loss of our son?" And her husband replied, "Yeah, I really think so." After they returned back to their country, they started to go to a local church and became Christians. In our lives, there are times when we feel just extreme pain and difficulties, and you just feel like nobody else could possibly understand it. But even if another human can't, we know that Jesus Christ can, and he can truly provide you with the comfort. the comfort that you need. He can allow you to stand up again and give you strength to go forward. That is who He is. Jesus Christ, even now, is with all of us and is providing guidance as well. I'd like to read verse 23 in Kles today. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We can learn from Joseph's faith in this way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship you again today. Today we've learned about the virgin birth. We've learned how Jesus Christ was born through Virgin Mary, through the Holy Spirit, and was born in this way as a sinless human. He was able to, therefore, carry on the Old Testament requirement of placing sin on something that was sinless in order to resolve the problem. For us, that was the problem of having no way of salvation. We're very thankful that this opportunity was given to us to be saved. We've learned from the faith of Mary and how she made the decision to trust God when she was faced with circumstances that were quite different than what she had hoped for. We too have various things that happen in our lives that are unexpected. However, we can trust you, Lord, and making that decision to do so will allow such things to be changed into good in our lives. We can learn from this. We can also learn from Joseph and how he followed God's guidance, and how Jesus also took care of the people who needed care given in his life. We ourselves face lots of difficulties and pain in our lives, but there is nothing in our lives that Jesus cannot understand. There's nothing that He is unaware of, and there's nothing that He can't comfort us about. We can in this way trust Him, and we can remember that and learn that again today. We ask that in this coming week that, Lord, You will be able to continue to provide us with guidance. We thank You for this opportunity to worship You, praying in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now, this week, and forevermore. Amen. That concludes today's worship service. We have some announcements, so please refer to the screen in front. Last week, thank you for your cooperation with the Summer Marché. The 116,274 yen was contributed to the Joyful Christmas production this year. Please be looking forward to the next Marché in September. Shimotsuke-ji House has a different plan for when the worship service will be held. It's switching from the third Saturday to the second Saturday. So second and fourth Saturdays. Please talk to Koki Sensei for more information. Yesterday we had a charity concert. Thank you to those of you who were able to come. It was very exciting. On this coming Saturday, there is going to be a different summer concert, and the Utsunomiya Choir is going to be singing starting at 3 o'clock p.m. here at the church. I myself will be giving a message as well, so I hope you're able to come. This is an opportunity to come sing songs together. It's going to be the third Wednesday starting at 10 every month, and Tomoko Kurosawa is going to lead this. She's not actually teaching how to sing, but rather just come sing along with you. So it's a good opportunity to sing a lot of fun songs and gospel folk songs in particular. July 20th is going to be a women's group event. It will take place after the third service, starting at 1:15. If you're wanting to sign up, please do so out in the lobby. And on the back of the information out there, it talks about a program for children. If you have young children, they are welcome to come again, and they will have something to do during that time. Next is the summer barbecue for junior high and high school students. And this will take place at Kanuma Praise Church on July 26th, Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. You can talk to Pastor Shion for more information. On July 26th is the seminar for people facing the end of life, and it will take place at 1 o'clock. This year's Yukata and Aloha Sunday is going to be July 19th, 20th, and 26th and 27th. You're welcome to dress up and come to services. The 27th, after second and third services, we're going to have a yakisoba and snow slushies as well. That was a lot of announcements. That's it. Now we'll celebrate people with birthdays this coming week, and then we'll have communion. Anyone here with a birthday this coming week? Is Tomoto-san here? No? No? Okay, we'll move on to communion then. There are two locations in the front, one in the back. You can just take the grape juice and bread and return to your seat. Once everybody is seated, then together we will pray.